listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello. I'm in the wrong position. There, we'll get in the right yard here. We are here to talk about music today. And this might be a surprise. Because I haven't talked a lot about music here, but it's something that's really near and dear to my heart. And so I want to talk about making music and what it means to me and why it's important. And what it has to do with the ultimate life, okay? Now, what you'll see behind me is a martial arts dojo, which is a place that I've spent thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours, not this particular dojo, but many over the years in many cities where I've lived. And martial arts was a big part of my life for a long time. And I haven't done it in the last few years. I've had some physical problems, partly as a result of the vigor with which I did it before, but it nevertheless. So what does this have to do with your ultimate life? Well, the ultimate life for me is creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And that simply means doing stuff you love, being able to make money with it, make a difference, and serve people. And I go online with you here every week to talk about different ways to do it. Often I have people that I interview, and they talk about the different ways that they're creating a life they want. And that's fabulous. And I do that to share different aspects. So we've had people on here that do SEO. We've had people on here that create websites. We've had people on here that write books. I had somebody on, Iyanna Van Zandt, you remember, a little over a year ago, right now. In fact, she was our guest last Valentine's Day. And she's a coach, and like me. And so we've had lots of people who have had all kinds of life journeys. And you here right now, you've had a life journey. And sometimes I'll bet you think your life journey is the worst possible journey that there ever could be. That your struggles are tough and that nobody really understands how difficult it is. Well, you know what? You're probably right. People do not understand how difficult your life is. But here's the real question. I just got off the phone with a client, a dear friend and client, and we were just talking about the particular struggles that this individual is having right now. And they're significant, and they're serious, and they're not trivial, and they're not to be, you know, glossed over. But that isn't the issue. You're going to have times in life, as well as I am, where things don't go well. So what do you do? Like, if you have to take care, when I got sick and died 5 years ago in 2018, my wife, who was diligent in being by my side and coming to the hospital all the time, we had a household to run. We had bills to pay. We had cats and dogs to take care of, her mom to take care of. All these things still had to go on. And so you have to make choices and you have to pick things to do and in what order. And that's what I was just talking to my friend, my client about. And that is, what are the choices you make? So here's a formula. Number one, you do the things that absolutely must happen to stay alive and stay breathing. And then you get to prioritize. You get to prioritize. And that's going to be true whenever you have a difficult period in your life. Now, right now, I'm in a fabulous place. I'm not having a terrible struggle. Yeah, I've got back pain and this and that, but I haven't got significant things like I did a few years ago when I had that month in a coma and all the rest. So right now is a great time for me to spread love and encouragement and joy and power and all the things that are possible that I can give. There's going to be a time, I don't know, a day, a week, a month, a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, when it's not that easy. But right now, it's good. And so I'm taking this opportunity. And in fact, that's why I've declared the goal that I have to reach 250 million people. Now, why would I want to do that? You know, that's an interesting question because that's something I ask every single person that I interview. Okay. And here's a sidebar. If you want to be a guest on this show or on my podcast, I'd like you to reach out to me because I love to feature people who have a message, who have a story, and who are in the business of offering examples, stories, encouragement, hope to the world because we sure need that. So today I decided to talk about one piece of my ultimate life. The piece I want to talk about is music. Now, I haven't talked about that much here, but I want to let you know I've gotten 88 songs on Spotify and Apple and Amazon and all the rest of the music platforms, SoundCloud and all the rest. What are they about and why do I do that? Well, I started playing piano when I was very young, five or so. In fact, it was so long ago, I can't remember not being able to read music, you know, looking at music and know the notes and treble and bass clef and all the rest. I learned to read that about the same time I learned to read, as far as I can tell. And so I've been able to do that all my life. So music has been really important to me, but it's also was the source of a lot of struggle because we did a lot of music in our family growing up. We were kind of like the Von Trapps, you know, we had several brothers and sisters and my mom was very musical and she played the piano pretty well and played the guitar and the rest of us sang and we played some instruments. My brother and I played the trumpet and I had a sister that played the sax and we had some violins in there and all of it, right? And so we would do shows and community shows and church shows and, you know, weddings and all kinds of stuff. So we did that sort of stuff. And one of the favorite things we did is we would go to rest homes, nursing homes, old folks' houses, and we would perform there. Now, that wasn't anything for business. That was just for love, not for money. And that was a way that we could serve. And so we did a lot of that. And I was very active in my church and community in the same thing, even when I left. But I had a desire to go further. I had the desire to do music professionally. And my yearning was to be a musician. And I learned to do really well. I played the piano really well and had a lot of good lessons and practice and all the rest. But here was the rub. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area during the 60s. And that's when the movement long ago called hippies and flower power and all that sort of stuff happened. I remember when that all happened and it was front page, front and center for me because I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area during that time. And the 1967 Summer of Love and Woodstock and all the rest. I was alive and well, and I didn't go to Woodstock, but I remember when it happened. So the problem was that environment created the notion in my mom particularly that music was bad. Musicians were bad because that was the rise of all the rock and roll garage bands. And so there were a million garage bands and there was plenty of drugs and all of this stuff. And in her mind, that was a road to ruin. So I had a conflict. And the conflict in my heart was whether or not it was okay to do music. And that conflict played out for decades in my life. And ultimately, the story of all that trouble isn't the subject of today. But ultimately, about 16 years ago, I left all of the corporate work that I'd done for decades. And I started life over again. And part of that starting over was reopening the recording studio and starting to write music again. And that choice to follow the creative urges of my soul was a powerful and important choice. So I want to ask you right now to do something. Here's an assignment. What creative urges do you have? I don't care if it's painting, knitting, music, speaking. I don't care. What creative urges do you have? Do you know what they are? Have you thought about them? Are you at least engaging them in the hobby stage? Are you doing some professional work? Are you indulging those creative impulses? Because here's what I know. Part of your ultimate life and doing what you love is understanding what your gifts are and then using them to add good to the world. Now, in my case, that was music. And I'll tell you a lot more about the story and the journey in a minute. But my assignment for you here, if I'm free to give you one, is to note down. Don't just think about it. Write down what your creative urges are. I knew somebody many years ago. I lived in Vacaville, California, which is up Interstate 80 from San Francisco, about halfway to Sacramento. And in that town, they had a local theater. And because I loved music and stuff, I was involved in the local theater. And I was the musical director for South Pacific and The Wizard of Oz and Once Upon a Mattress and, you know, just some, you know, those kind of shows that get done in local community theater. And I did a lot of that. But Here was the interesting thing. There was a lady who played. Oh, we did Grease, too. That was one we did. Anyway, there was a lady who played the lead in Grease, and she was an interesting woman. She had a lot of talent in acting, but this was one of her gifts. And so she was all in this acting, and she went to schools and not just this community thing, but many things. And she was busy doing that in a fulfilling way because it gave outlet for her creative stuff. You probably know one or two or 10 people like that. Maybe you're one also. I want to encourage you not only to write down the creative gifts that you have, but I want you to analyze or at least think about what are you doing to use them? Because one of the things we say is, well, I'll do that later when I have time. I'll do that in my spare time. I'll do that when I retire or when the kids grow up, or I'll indulge that fantasy. That is not the way to live happy. That is not the way to live happy. You may not be able to do it as much as you want. And that was the point of my story in the beginning. If you've got significant things that are taking large chunks of your time, that's fine. But find a way to develop and indulge your gifts and talents right now in your community, in your church, in the elementary and high schools and colleges that are near you. I can guarantee wherever you are, there's a dozen things you can find right now. There's places to speak. There's places to sing. There's places to dance. There's places to paint. There's places to do poetry. There's places to help in 100 other ways that honor the gifts that you have. So my first assignment is to write down the things that you know you love to do and want to do, and then find some places to start doing them right now. Don't delay. Don't deny. Just do it. Now, if you can't do it all you want, okay, you don't need to whine about that. You've made other choices. For example, if you got married and had kids and you're raising kids, okay, you're raising kids. It's okay. Raise them. Raise them. Raise them good and do the best you can. And then on the side, in the cracks, in between, take them with you. Do whatever it is to do, use those gifts. I remember as a youngster, my mom and dad being in a play, and we had to drive 45 minutes to get just to the rehearsal place. And I remember going night after night and falling asleep on the floor of this big theater under the piano. I remember that because they were doing that kind of thing. Now, here's the dichotomy for me. It was funny because there was my mom and dad in this case, but it was mostly my mom participating in this kind of musical outlet, and it was a musical. Right. It happened to be a church thing, but it was a big deal. It was a large area, many, many congregations contributing. And so it was a big deal. And she was in it. And so was my dad. And I went to sleep, like sit under the piano. And yet when it came time for me to pursue music, that was not okay anymore, because then it moved from church and community service to professional stuff and contaminated with all that garbage. So that's a story for another day. But here has been my musical journey just since I finally woke up. So in 2007, I woke up. I realized I woke up figuratively, literally, and in every other way. I was 52 years old. I realized that I had killed, in large part, my creative impulses. I had buried them, stuffed them, and given in to the idea that there was something wrong with them and that they were only to be dabbled in and used for this other kind of stuff, community and church service, instead of exploited to the full. So I changed everything in my life about in 2007, which is 16 years ago. Now, the moral of that little piece of the story, in case you don't already know it, is look, it's never too late. I was 52 years old. I'd already had a career. And I was exploding. There were lots of problems in it because I had these conflicts inside. But again, that's a story for another day. But I decided I'm done with that old way of living, and I'm going to pursue the dreams of the heart. I'm going to pursue those things and see where they go. So if you have a ton of obligations, responsibilities, I don't like the idea of obligations, commitments that you've made, then honor your gifts anyway. Figure out ways to sandwich them in, involve the family and friends, and do them anyway, because to not do that is to dishonor the gifts you have. All right, so I finally started doing that full on in 2007, which is now 16 years ago, coming on 17, right? This August was when it changed. So 16 and a half years ago now. And I started by acquiring the equipment, reopening my studio. Now, this time I didn't open it for other bands. I used to record bands and so forth when I had the studio back in the days before I gave it all up. See, that was the conflict. So I'm going to rewind just a minute. In the years of 1980 to about 1995, it was 15 years in there where I tried to do both full time. So I was working 16 hours a day, running the recording studio for eight and running a job I had for another eight. So that was stressful, as you can imagine. In 1995, I shut it all down and stayed completely closed and stuffed for 12 years. 2007, it all exploded in my life and I started over again. The explosions for another day. But here's what's happened since then. Since I have chosen to honor the creativity inside me, I have become an author. I've written 19 books and I have at least six named and some of them outlined and underway. What does that have to do with music? Well, I'll tell you. For two of the books that are done and a third one that's coming, one of the books' name is Tightrope of Depression, which talks about the dark years of stuffing my gifts and talents. Tightrope of Depression, my journey from darkness, despair, and death to light, love, and life. So what I did is I said, okay, I don't want to just write a book. Because of the music, I want to write some songs. So I set about writing music to tell the stories from that book. And I wrote an album, 11 songs. And those songs are dark. They're exploring the agony of depression and the struggle of denying who you really are and of feeling like no one's listening and no one cares and no one supports you and on, because that's how I felt during those dark years. So that album, Name of the Black, and the names of the songs on there are songs like Anthem of Sorrow and The Dark Side of Black. And one's called Go Ahead and Hate Me. And there's one called War and The Price of Silence and Who Made You God and things like that. So, but that was an expression of a heartfelt, deep expression of what I'd really been experiencing. I can tell you that both writing the book and creating the songs was so cathartic, first of all. And second of all, it was an honoring and acknowledging of the gifts and talents that I had. What would it take for you, even a little, to identify and honor the gifts that you have? Now, since that time, since 2007, I have a full-blown, I'll say full-blown recording studio, full-blown in that it's different than when I did that before, because back then I had like an 8-foot mixing board and like you've seen in studios, right? Vocal booths and all the rest of it, recording rooms and blah, blah, blah. And back then we had, you know, great big tape decks with 2-inch tape and everything else. And today everything is in the box, we call it, in the box, which is in the computer. But it's still a fully capable studio. And the only room I have now is a vocal booth. It's a gorgeous vocal booth. And my son built it for me. And it's the best sounding vocal booth I've ever had in the house that we're in now. But anyway, so that was the first thing, or one of the ways that I did that. And here's part of the story of that. Before I wrote that book, in 2014. So about 7 years after I broke away from everything and started life over. Now, between 2009 and 13, those 4 or 5 years, 9 and 14, I did a whole bunch of other music because music had suddenly exploded. And here's some of the things. I wrote an album of meditation music. Why? Because I wrote 5 books on meditation. Why? Because meditation played a role in returning me to sanity and helping me manage depression and honor myself and my gifts and talents. So I wrote a 5-volume series on meditation. And then I wrote a bunch of music, meditation music, guided meditations and the kind of meditation where you listen, you know, to those kinds of tracks, you know what I'm talking about. So those were the first things that I did. Then what I did after that is I loved synthesizers and drum machines. And back in the days when I'd done session work back in the 80s, I used to be a regular session musician in other studios doing keyboard work and synth programming and drum programming because I love doing that. So I got into EDM, electronic dance music. Isn't that crazy? So electronic dance music. Then a friend of mine, Bill White, who was a dear friend, he's since passed away at a young age in his 40s. But back in the 80s, he was only 30-something. He passed away a few years after we did this. But we did an album that was a soundtrack to a movie. So we conceived a movie, and it never got turned into a movie, but we did the soundtrack. And it was all kind of new agey space kind of stuff. The story was interesting. It was a story about a Voyager. And the name of the album is called Voyager, Distant Shores. It's about a trip through space and an emergency alarm. You know, some meteors strike the ship. And so you come out of suspended animation and land on a planet. And there's all kinds of conflict. And the songs are named, you know, conflict and that sort of thing, realization and so forth. So I did a whole thematic album about that. Now, I'm describing this all to you because two reasons. One, I'd love for you to go listen to it. So if you go on Spotify, for example, any other platform too, but Spotify, and put my name in, you'll find all this music that I've done. If you go to Amazon and put in my name, you'll find Tightrope of Depression and all the other books that I've written. The reason I'm telling you about this is not to say, yay, Kellen, but to encourage you. If I, starting at 52, struggling with depression and all of the stuff that goes with it, addictions and rehab and a bunch of other things, if I can start at 52 and say, I'm going to honor my gifts and talents, I'm going to throw away all of the imaginary barriers that have held me bound because I allowed it, if I'm going to throw all that away and I'm going to create who I want to be. Now, the truth, I had no idea how to get music up. I had no idea how to sell it. I had no idea how to publish books. I had no idea how to do any of that. But I just said, I'm going to do it anyway and we'll figure it out as we go. Now, I'm not saying or advocating that anyone run away from their responsibilities and, you know, do all that. I'm not saying that. I'm not advocating abdication of anything, but I am saying honor your gifts. Honor your gifts. Honor the yearnings. Honor the yearning you have to add good to the world and to create. You are a creator, a creative and a creator. The son or daughter of the divine creator. So, all right. So I created a bunch of meditation music and a bunch of EDM electronic dance music. And you'll find all that on all those platforms. There's one album called Fire in the Hole. And it's all, I think there's 10 or 11 songs on there, 10, I think, that are regular electronic dance of different genres, but stuff that I just love to do. And it was all created with simply the pure joy of creation. And it was created not knowing how I would market it or do anything, right? Because that was, you know, almost 20 years ago, not quite, 15, 16 years ago. Now, here's what happened. In the process of creating that, I came across an ad one day. It was an ad from one of the manufacturers of software that I used. And it advertised the company. In Austria, of all places. And that company specialized in one thing. They specialized in distributing music all over the world. What? Yeah. So because it was new and because it was, you know, connected to this company whose software I used that was in Germany, it was a good startup. It wasn't very much to get started, and I've been using them now for 14 years. The name of them is Rebeat, Rebeat, R-E-B-E-A-T, Rebeat. And now there's a whole bunch of them. You see those all over the place. Distribution platforms have popped up. And what they do is they take responsibility to put your music in the right formats in all the places. So, for example, Amazon, and that's just not Amazon USA, Amazon Australia, UK, India, Deutschland, Germany, and you know, all over the place. When I look at the account, the Amazon accounts, there's like 20 of them or more. They also put it on Apple, and they put it on all kinds of platforms I've never even heard of, never heard the names of. There are many companies that do that and will do it for you. And you know what? They do charge a nominal fee to upload it, but it's one time, and then they get paid when I get listened to. So they take a percentage of the royalties. But here's the fun part. They do all the work. They do all the work collecting royalties from all these different platforms all over the world, all the downloads and the streams. And when I started this, I had no idea how to do that or that such a thing even existed. So that showed up, but it wouldn't have showed up for me if I hadn't gotten started. It wouldn't have showed up if I hadn't said, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. I'm just doing this thing. I'm going to honor my gifts. I'm going to develop them. I'm going to say what I have to say in the world. Now, after I did that, that stuff, the meditation music and electronic dance music, then that was about the time I did two albums of the EDM. That was about the time I wrote the book Tightrope and did that album. Now, I only expected to do one of those, one book about my life, right? I was just going to write that one and done. And I had written the meditation books and was busy doing other projects. Then it occurred to me as soon as I got done that I really wasn't finished. So I wrote the second book in that series, and that book's called Down from the Gallows. And here's what Tightrope looks like if you're watching. And Down from the Gallows looks like this. And when I got that done, I thought, oh, that needs another album. Guess what? And I wrote this music because I'm a musician and I didn't want to just have the written word. I wanted to do it my way with my voice and my stuff. And I'm saying all that because I want you to hear this about you. What would your voice be? What would your stuff be? What kind of art or music or dance or authorship, writing or speaking or other method do you have to raise your voice in the world? And you might think this doesn't matter and it's impossible, but it's not. Now, not very many years ago, 1 or 2 years ago, there was that young girl from one of the Scandinavian countries who made a lot of noise about the environment. And I've forgotten her name, and don't remember. Greta something, I think. She was like 13. She's probably 15 or 16 now. But she became a very, you know, iconic figure representing green things and recycling and the damage we're doing to the planet. Now, I don't care what side of the debate you're on or how much you do or don't recycle. My point is, this was someone who said, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to use the yearning, the voice, the calling that I have to matter. I'm going to do that. And damn the torpedoes, again, I don't know where the path is going to lead me. Now, she has a lot of followers and she has a lot of ridiculers. A lot of people that say, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Okay, and again, I don't care which side of the debate you're on. The point here is she's honoring the calling that she feels she has. So why not you? You can sit there or drive or wherever you are and say, well, not me because, right? And then you can have the because of what? Because of whatever you say. You can do that. And you know what? A year or two or three will go by and you'll be sitting having the same conversation. That was part of the convo I just had with a client I was talking about. When are you going to start? Now, this client's very successful in some areas, but they have a desire to do something else. And there's a lot of procrastination involved. There's also a lot of struggles and trials and hardship, but there's still procrastination. Oh, I'll do it when I'm ready. I'm not quite ready. You're never going to be ready. I wasn't ready when I started writing, and I wasn't ready when I started releasing music. But I did it anyway. And what I noticed is good stuff started happening. So back to the story. After I wrote Tightrope, I mentioned I wrote Down from the Gallows. And I thought, oh, well, I guess I need another album. So I started on another album, and that one's called Promise and Power. Now, Down from the Gallows is more after the the events of 2007 and the things that changed my life and when I started over. So those songs are positive, and that's why the album's called Promise and Power. And so there's songs on there called Hallelujah Road and I'm Still Me and I Know You and What Do You Say? And they're all positive songs of encouragement. And again, the point was to express the voice. And as I talk about this, I'm pleading with you to hear this about you. What is your voice? What is it? I just conducted earlier today a challenge. I'm running a challenge this week, a five-day challenge that's specifically for coaches, people that have chosen to be coaches. Now, my experience with coaches is most of them are exactly like me. When I started my coaching business, I was terrible at enrolling clients. In fact, I was so bad at it that I thought I'm never going to have a decent practice. I can't do this. I'm going to have to go do some other work to eat. I can't pay bills. I can't make enough money doing this. And I believed that and struggled for several years. And you know what was funny? I hated it when I would go to conferences, which I went to a lot of them, trying to find, quote, the answer and the secret and crack the code and all those buzzwords. I'd go to all those conferences and I'd hear people say, oh, you can do it. It's easy. It's not easy, but you can get there, you know, rah, rah, rah. And I hated every one of them because I thought I was doing whatever they told me and it wasn't working and there was some secret that I didn't have. And you know how that feels, right? Somebody's holding something back. Well, as the years have gone by and I have stayed on the path, I've noticed several things. One, I no longer struggle enrolling clients at all. Zero, none, boom. What? Yeah, I've gone from not knowing how, feeling like I wanted to quit, to enrolling clients with ease. And do you know why? I became more and more authentic. I know that's a buzzword and you hate to hear it, maybe. Transparent, authentic, real, just being myself with an eye toward loving and serving whoever I'm talking to. Coaching is the people encouragement business. So whoever I talk to in the right setting, I don't mean I run around coaching people that don't want it, but in the right setting, I just be myself and love and serve that person in front of me. Well, that transition allowed me to move from struggling and suffering and not knowing what to do to being able to do this with ease. And so the challenge that I'm running this week is called Love 'em, Coach 'em, Sign 'em. And it's for coaches that are struggling, filling their practice like I did, because I know the struggles that I went through and I'm trying to help them. Avoid the struggle, shorten the struggle, et cetera, et cetera. I even wrote a song about coaching called It's Your Day, and it's about the art and science of coaching, about connecting with someone, about feeling like you're never going to make it and you can't do it on your own. And then you find the right help and it gets done. And it's a catchy, upbeat tune. And you know what I did? I introduced that song when I spoke on stage at an event. So I was asked to speak and I did, and I closed the speech with that song. Isn't that fun? So that was another way to express the voice. And for me, that was music. So that's the second album that's just for songs expressing my voice. Now, here's the fun part. I have been a musician all my life, as I mentioned. Part of that journey was that I was in a choir from 2009 to 2016. So 7 years. I was in a choir that was professional, and we recorded a lot of albums, and we toured a bit and, you know, played in some impressive things. And three of the albums we released charted number one on the Billboard charts. So I can say, well, I'm a Billboard number one charting artist, and that's true. The choir did that, and I was in the choir, and I'm on the tape and in the songs. But what I didn't do is any solo work. So here is the struggle that we sometimes have. This is one of the most important things I wanted to talk to you about. In expressing my voice, I was possessed, gripped, hobbled, held back by fear. What was the fear? That I would sing solo where no one was covering me, choir and et cetera, and it wouldn't be good enough. Nobody would like it. Nobody would buy it. Nobody would care. You know, nothing, nothing. Oh, dear, I suck. That kind of feeling. I was petrified and paralyzed. Now, here is the choice I had. And this was, as I started doing those songs for solo release on the Name of the Black and on Promise and Power. Now, I would really like it if you would go to Spotify or Apple and look my name up. Not because I'm trying to sell music, but I want you to hear what the product is of the process I'm going to talk to you about. Kellen Flukiger, look it up. You'll see my music. And so I was terrified. I was afraid that it wouldn't be good enough. People would laugh and I would be rejected and ridiculed, humiliated, and so forth. So here I had a choice. And here's the choice that you have and we all have. I'll do it someday when I'm ready. It's not my time. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. That was a choice. And I felt that way badly, strongly, whatever the right adjective is. But instead, what I did is I hired a vocal coach, even though I was already a pro singer in a choir, because I wanted to do solo work. And I wanted it to be good. I wanted it to be world class. So I got a vocal coach. And I worked with it. I worked with him and am still working with him now, 10 years later. Started in 2015, I think. 15 to 24, going on 8, 9 years now. In that 9 years, here's what's happened. I've created those two albums. There's another one that I'll tell you about in a minute. But more important than the music that's up, I have gotten the confidence and training and skill. Now, here's the secret. The secret was the action, taking the action. I needed a vocal coach. You may need something else. That's one of the things I love about coaching. I love being the catalyst, being the thing that helps my clients succeed, win you. This has gotten so personal for me, and I've gotten so excited about this whole thing that you probably know if you've listened to other episodes, my commitment this year is to help 250 million people. Imagine 250 million people. Help them do what? Discover who they really are. Infinitely powerful, divine, capable creators. Whatever the art or creation process is that you have. And then to help you have the courage to create from that infinite possibility. So that's my mission, is to help 250 million people do that, understand who they really are and create from their infinite possibility. And how I'm doing that in my life is this writing of books. And we're talking today about music. So as I finished Down from the Gallows, that book, I realized that this was really a trilogy. You know, there was a concluding volume. And so that concluding volume is outlined and ready to write. I haven't written it yet. My plan is, not because I couldn't, it's ready to go, but I want to put it out next year in 2025. So that book will be next year, and that will complete, I call it the tightrope trilogy. But more importantly, it will complete a third album, because that third album, songs from the last book, are pure songs of love and encouragement. I don't mean love affairs. There's some of those on the second album because my blessed angel wife, Joy, was part of the great transition of my life in 2007. And so there are songs that just would tear your heart out on the album Promise and Power that are about her. But this third one, I'm not going to release all at once. I'm doing it in pieces. So I'm doing it in 3-song increments. And 2 of those 3-song increments, or 6, are already up. There's an EP with 3 songs called Oasis, and there's one called Living in the Sunshine. Go listen to them. Tell me if you like them. Tell me if you hate them. That used to would have killed me to imagine such a thing, but it doesn't bother me at all anymore. I invite you to listen and then tell me what you like and don't like. But more than any of that, the whole point of this story about my relationship with music, about learning small when I was little, about doing it in a studio for a while and then shutting it down and stuffing it because of that. It's not okay. You shouldn't be doing that. You need to have a traditional job and take care of your responsibilities and family. And I did that and caused depression and struggle in my life. And then finally, I woke up. And the wake up is use your gifts and talents. Use your gifts and talents. I didn't need to abandon responsibilities and abandon obligations. I don't have any of those commitments. I didn't need to dishonor any commitments to honor the gifts and talents. Sometimes we have the idea that we have to do everything, black and white. So people talk about leaving corporate and going and doing what they want to do, which is exactly what I'm talking about. Well, in 2007, I jumped off the cliff. I walked away from millions of dollars of contracts, started life over again. I don't recommend that method. Sometimes it's required. Sometimes it's the best way. Sometimes it's the only way. Sometimes something happens in your life and that's where you end up. And that's what I did. I jumped off the cliff and built my parachute on the way down. But that's the hard way. The easy way is to simply make a commitment to identify and honor your gifts and talents. Honor the gifts, the yearnings that you have to serve and add good to the world. Now, here's my commitment. As I said, I'm going to help 250 million people. I do three things right this minute, and there's going to be more. One of the things I do right now is I help coaches to fill their coaching practice. Another thing I do right now is I have 90-day workshops to help people accomplish any goal. Did you know you can set any goal you want and I can help you get it done in 90 days? Another thing I do is to help people write their books. Because after I wrote a lot of books, I wrote a book about that. Why? To help you tell your story, to honor the gift, your life experience that you have. Now, a new thing that I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start doing live broadcasts from the studio, which is over there in this area of the house. And so I'm going to do them at the studio mixing desk. And I'm going to talk about the process of making songs. And you'll be hearing little pieces of stuff in underway. I'm right now putting the finishing touches on the third song of that third group of three. I told you there's one group of three called Oasis and one group called Living in the Sunshine. And this group of three is called I Will Hold Your Heart. And that's one of the three songs. And I'm just finishing the third of those three. And they'll be up, I don't know, in a couple of weeks on all those platforms. And that'll be nine. Now, my plan is to have 15 songs on this last album. There were 11 on the first two, and this will have 15. And they'll all be done long before the book gets out in 2025. Now, this whole story about music and songs and telling you where to go find them and listen is not for my benefit. It is to give you an example of what is possible. I was 52. The truth, before my radical change in August of 2007, I had attempted suicide 2 weeks before. So I started from that place, changing my life, honoring the gifts and talents that I had and have. So I started from that low place, walked away from a 30-year career, not having any idea what I'd do, but knowing that life had to change and I was going to see it through to the finish line. Now, here I am 16 and a half years later, and I can tell you that bit by bit, day by day, book by book, conference by conference that I attended, learning by learning, song by song, I have created this ultimate life I talk about. If I can do this from suicide, addictions, and being completely broken, as I was in that time, to where I am today, loving every minute of my life, and not only loving my life, but in the process of helping 250 million people discover their own journey. Maybe you're at the beginning. Maybe you're in the middle. Maybe you're anywhere. It doesn't really matter. Here are some things that I've learned in this journey with music and with creating my ultimate life. It's never too late. I don't care where you are or what's happened before, it's never too late. Identify your gifts and start using them right now. In small ways, in tiny ways, but start today. Never too late. Number two, there is always a way. There's always a way. Now, there's a funny, I'm a Star Trek freak. You know, some people are Star Wars and different programs. I'm a Star Trek nerd. Funny, but I am. And in Star Trek VI, there was a scene where Captain Kirk had been taken captive and he was stuck on some alien asteroid in an underground mine. And he'd been sentenced to spend the rest of his life there, et cetera, et cetera. And some alien approached him, and it was a setup, but it doesn't matter. The line that I love there is classic. Some alien approached him and said to him, "Do you want to get out of here?" And Captain Kirk looked at him and said, "There's got to be a way." And that's been my saying forever. I don't care what the problem is. There's got to be a way. Now, the question that I ask my people today on my challenge, the question that I'm asking you and the question that I ask all my clients is, what's it worth to you? We can dream about having the life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. We can complain about others having it. We can wishful think it. We can declare it out of reach. We can proclaim the unfairness of all the things that have happened before. And you're allowed to do any or all of those, but none of them will move you forward. All that they do is add baggage to your backpack. Now, if you love carrying around a heavy backpack full of baggage and emotional discord and negativity and stories, you're free to do that. I did that for decades. It's heavy, it's hard, and it leads to very dark places. That's one possibility. The other possibility is represented by this beautiful dojo behind me. A dojo, when you go in, is quiet and empty. The silence is there. But if you listen, you can hear the sounds of the effort, the work, the shouts, the kiais, the movements, the instructor, all of the things that have happened there thousands, tens of thousands of times, the effort. And when that effort is put in to the process, gold, happiness, joy, success comes out. I know I've created it in that room in my thousands of hours. And earned second degree black belt in a couple of styles and done some competitive stuff. So I know what that success is. And now, because I won't give up, I've created it with the music, with writing, with coaching. It's never too late. There's got to be a way. And the third one is persevere. Get the help you need, because you're not going to do it alone. I didn't. Nobody did. We needed instructors there. I needed coaches like the vocal coach I've been using. We need help, encouragement, love, kindness, support. And a lot of the time, you won't get it from those you should have got it from. Family, brothers, sisters, cousins, parents. I didn't have that kind of support in my life until I met the precious woman I'm married to now, angel from heaven. So I absolutely know what it's like to feel alone, abandoned, and have no support. But that's no excuse, because if you give up, all you do is die. You only die when you quit trying. So throw away the stories and the shame and fight to make the most of the life around you, no matter what they say, no matter who's to blame. I want to hear the song you have to sing. I want to know what your gifts and talents are. Will you share them with me? I'm serious. I'm inviting you to share your gifts and talents with me. I'm inviting you to create your ultimate life. I'm offering you help if you want it. www.yourultimatelife.ca, the URL on the screen. There's some stuff there. Go on Spotify. Listen to the songs that I've written. Out of my heart, and blood and sweat, and then write your own, sing your own. I want to hear the song you came to sing. There's nothing you can't have. It's never too late. There's got to be a way, and don't ever quit. And that includes getting the help, finding the right coach and mentor. Find it. You're worth it. You're worth every single possible investment of money, of effort, and of time. None of your success will create itself, and it won't come in an Amazon box. But the other side of that is that no one can keep you from your destiny. No one can keep you from everything that it's possible for you to create. I know it. I've seen it. I'll help you as you move on to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.